And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we go to the gospel reading this morning. And interesting account, as John the Baptist is now in prison. And being in prison, disciples are sent from John to inquire if Jesus really is the one who is to come. And so we heard Jesus' response to this in Matthew 11, verse 4, and this is where I'd like us to focus today. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." And here ends the text. Well, we have been following this theme throughout the Sundays of Advent, serious preparations. And the first week, we had talked about making a list and even God's directive in that list, focusing upon being in the Word, being in worship, making a list of unchurched and holding them up in prayer and reaching out to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And then last week, we looked at repentance, which is a change of mind and heart, a turning away from our former way of sin and turning to and seeking God's will. And all of this, the work of God's Word, His gospel that is constantly changing and refining and reforming our hearts, our lives. And now today, as we continue on this journey together, we get into the theme of Christmas cards, of sending out Christmas cards. And we'll think about that in a little more detail in a moment. But when you send a Christmas card, you want to think about why do we do it and what is the message that we want to convey to all of those who receive that card from us. And you'll understand a little bit more where I'm going with that in a moment. But we focus on these words, go and tell, from Jesus to the disciples then, to the church now, to you and me individually this very morning. Go and tell what you hear and see. Now, John the Baptist, what a journey he had been on, and what a blessing for him to be called to be a messenger to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to a hopeless and lost world, to be the forerunner. And last week we really looked at that. We heard the historical account from Matthew chapter 3. And my goodness, the things that John was blessed to do. He was honored to be the one that was even prophesied to come, to be the forerunner of Jesus and to prepare people for Jesus coming. And he was blessed to be sent to go and to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right here in your midst now. And remember, the multitudes were coming out from that region, and there were many who were confessing their sins, and they were being baptized, and John was privileged to be the one who was called to administer this baptism of repentance. Those were glorious days for John the Baptist. But boy, we see quite a different scene here today, because John now has been put into prison. And probably at the time of this writing had been in prison maybe slightly over a year. And we learn details as to why he was in prison. If you go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, you can read there about the account of John's imprisonment. But Herod married his brother's wife. And by the way, they were both uncles to this woman that they had married. And John made it very clear to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Now, Herod's a pretty powerful guy. And you can imagine Herod and his wife Herodias, they certainly didn't like John telling them what they could or could not do. And they had the power and authority to imprison John, and they did. So here John, after those glorious days of seeing just the amazing events that were opening up before his very eyes and in his life, now he's sitting in prison. And we know that he will never get out of prison again on earth because one day he will be executed. And so you can imagine, just try imagine being John. And you're the forerunner of Jesus. You're announcing this kingdom that is coming and that is really at hand and maybe had the glory eyes of the other disciples. You know, Jesus is going to establish this earthly kingdom. Boy, we're going to charge forward now. Good days are ahead of us. But oh, how opposite it was for John sitting there in prison. And it's always been debated, did John really doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah? And, you know, a lot of theologians go different directions with that. But John was human. He was saint and sinner. And I believe in the circumstances that he went through, he had his doubts. But where does he go when he's doubting? To Jesus. He sends his disciples to Jesus. Well, consider our current times. Do you ever feel a little bit like John in your own life? You know, do you go through those really glory days? It's like, wow, life just doesn't get any better than this. I'm healthy, you know, and my family's together. And boy, during this season of the year, we can get together for special events. And there's so many memories that are created. And we're together as a family now. And, oh, man, got a great job. Career is going well. You know, and in the church, things are awesome. And I'm able to serve the Lord and in various ways with the gifts that God has given me. We've all been there, and maybe we're there right now, right? Just life is just going really tremendously well. But boy, life on this earth can be so fickle, right? It can change on a dime. Where we've been healthy, and then suddenly an accident happens. And suddenly we find that our health is quickly fading away, and we're dealing with a major disability, maybe. Or it doesn't have to be an accident. We just get older, right? And our bodies begin to wear out. And health issues begin to crop up in our lives. And then along with that, our families grow up, our kids move away, and maybe we find out that we're alone at home for Christmas. And we think of those glory days when the house was just filled with joy and laughter, and now it's quiet. And then it even comes to that point where our beloved spouse maybe has passed away or maybe gone through a divorce. And now we find ourselves really alone and pondering those glory days. And in our walk of faith, you know, maybe we've been severely attacked, maybe even within the congregation that we're a part of. Maybe people have said very hurtful things. And we've been greatly hurt by that. And it hinders us in terms of our service then. Life can change so quickly, can it? It's all over the place in a world that is changing and corrupted by sin. Now that's us as Christians, but consider the unchurched. We have Christ. We have the foundation of God's Word. We're here this morning worshiping together. We have fellowship with one another. That woke everybody up, right? We have fellowship with one another. And so we're not alone. But think about the unchurched. Do they go through the very same kinds of things? Yeah, it's life. But where do they turn with loss of family, aging, loss of spouse, job, health, and all of those dynamics that life brings? Well, John the Baptist turned to Jesus. We're blessed to know Jesus and to turn to Him and know He will not fail us. But where did the unchurched go? Where do the unbelievers turn? Many put their hope in worldly things, and it just all crumbles below their very feet. And so as we gather here this morning, we hear Jesus say, go and tell. And maybe that takes on more meaning when we really think about the unchurched. Go and tell. They also need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's not only for the unchurched, it's for you and me, because even as Christians, we can get very discouraged and frustrated. We can be like John the Baptist in our own prison of life, things that will try to imprison us. And the only encouragement and comfort that will help us is Jesus. And so we're blessed to be messengers and to tell the good news. But what is the good news? Well, what was Jesus' response? Not only did he say, go and tell John what you hear and see, but then in verse 5 of our text, Jesus goes on to explain what they were hearing and seeing. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Now, people, the Jews who had the Old Testament, who knew the word well, they knew that these were messianic words, that these were prophecies of the Messiah who was to come. And so when Jesus says, these things are happening, and you guys are even seeing it happen before your very eyes, you can know for sure, without doubt, that I am the one that John was inquiring about. I am the Christ. I have come, says Jesus. And that's a message that everyone needs to hear. And so we today in Advent celebrate that our Lord has come, and we look forward to Christmas as we gather together in this sanctuary and worship our Lord and celebrate His birth, telling Jesus happy birthday. And we are blessed to know this and believe and trust. But there's even more events beyond this, isn't there? The Lord will come again. And so we don't know when that's going to happen, but what we do know and what we can be certain of, because the Lord has fulfilled everything else that He has promised, that we can celebrate the no mores of Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And this is a description of life in glory in heaven. And so we hear in this verse, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And here come the no mores. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. In other words, all of the effects that sin has had, even on our lives as Christians, all of that will be gone. And we will be living in glory the way God intended our lives to be all along. Never being alone again, never being depressed again, never dancing with despair again, but we will be in glory. And we will see the Lord with our own eyes. We know that. And we look forward to it. But we need encouraged continually. Because boy, can life beat us up. But we celebrate that Jesus changes things. And so He has. Through His death, through His resurrection, through the blessings of salvation that He has won for us, our lives are changed forever. But we still need that encouragement. And certainly the unchurched world needs to hear the good news. Are you willing to go and tell? You know, this isn't something just to keep hidden within our own lives, but to allow the Lord's love to flow from us, to allow the joy of salvation to be seen in us, and most of all, that people see that we have hope. And it's not a fickle hope, but it's a hope that we can hang on to, and it's never going to fail us. Jesus knows our weaknesses. Jesus knows what we need to hear. But He especially knows the hearts of the unbelievers. And He desires that they would hear too. You know, in coming close to conclusion this morning, I think of John chapter 11, You know, that's the chapter where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And remember Martha and Mary? They wanted Jesus to come, and he delayed in coming, but finally Jesus does come. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And remember, Martha runs out to greet Jesus, and Jesus comforts her with the reality of the resurrection, that he is the resurrection and the life. And so he gives her that hope. And he says, your brother will live again. But then Mary wasn't there. But this is, I think, the most precious part of this passage, is Jesus doesn't forget about Mary. But he shares with Martha these words. He shares with her, go and tell Mary, the teacher is here and is calling for you. Isn't that awesome? Jesus doesn't forget Mary, who physically is out of his sight. But the Lord knows everyone, and he knows you and me. And we can be encouraged to know that the Lord desires that each one of us are encouraged and comforted by him, but even more so, those that still do not know him. So we get back to Christmas cards. Go and tell. Have you ever thought, you know, at Halloween, it's so strange, kids can knock on strangers' doors to get candy. How odd is that? Do we do that every day? No, we tell our kids to do the very opposite, right? But for some reason on Halloween, it's totally acceptable for strangers to come to strangers and receive candy. Now think about the season we are in. Everybody or most people are sending and receiving Christmas cards. I was listening on the radio the other day, and they were saying, well, you know, what do you put on a Christmas card? And they were just boggled in their minds about how I'm tired of trying to be creative. I don't know what to put on a Christmas card. And I just wanted to shout out, you don't have to be creative. In fact, how creative is that scene? It's pretty simple, isn't it? But oh, what a blessing to know that scene. All we need to share in a Christmas card is Jesus. That this one came as a little babe. That he came, became man to save us. He went on that journey to the cross to die for us. He rose again and he lives, and he desires for you to live too. That's not complex or complicated. And you know, this is a year, a season of the year, that probably if somebody receives a Christmas card, an envelope in that kind of shape, they're probably not going to chuck it in the mail, in the trash. They'll probably actually open it and read it. What an opportune time to go and tell. But you know, right here, In our community where we can meet up with other people, we don't have to send the card. We can just visit with them. We can be the walking card. Go and tell. And what do we tell them? What you hear and see. And what have we heard and seen? Jesus is the Messiah. He has come, and through him salvation is won. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.